our ability to be here, like we said earlier, our freedom to be here. And God, at this time, I pray that as I speak, that I don't speak. I pray that you speak through me. Jesus, I pray that you fill this place. Holy Spirit, I pray that you fill this place and just be with us. You are with us. I just make us aware of your presence. And God, Jesus, I do pray that you speak through me today. Whatever I want to say that's not helpful or uplifting or biblical, I pray that I forget it and I don't even say it. I pray that you speak through me. And we love you and ask all this in Jesus' amazing name. Amen. Well, it has been a very interesting 4 weeks. I really have enjoyed being here and getting to know those of you that I've met and getting to know the elementary age kids and the middle school and the junior high and high school age kids and everything. It's been really fun getting to know them and going to all the events that we've already had. And like Ron said, tomorrow we got the secret destination that is going to be super fun, and can't wait to do that. 2 weeks ago, I was actually at Hilltop, and I love going to Hilltop. I've gone there for, as a counselor, I've gone there for 7 years or 7 summers in a row now. And it's always a lot of fun to go there. I don't know how many of you have ever gone there, but it's just it's so great, such an amazing place. We had actually, the camp I was at was for 5th and 6th graders, and so there was actually a couple kids from church here that was there, and it was really cool to see them and everything. But something happened at camp this year that had never happened before, at least while I was there, and it was about 2 days or so into the week, and this is 2 weeks ago, so you might not remember, but 2 weeks ago, there was this massive storm just blew through, and I guess storms have happened since then, but this week at camp, there were a lot of severe thunderstorms, warnings, and stuff like that, and while we were eating supper one night, I can't remember if it was like Tuesday night, we were eating supper, and one of the deans came out and just said, guys, just wanting to let you know there's a big storm coming, and like, you just need to be aware that this is going to happen, and if suddenly we have to change plans, that might just happen. Well, the thing that's happened that's never happened before is when the storm went through, it knocked the power out. And it's about 8 o'clock at night, and the power is out. Well, the sun is, you know, or the sun's, it was cloudy, but it was still kind of light outside, so for a while it was okay. Okay, we can make it the next couple hours with no electricity. We'll do some outside games or whatever. Well, a couple hours go by, and it's getting dark, and the power's still not coming back on. And for most of us, when the electricity goes out, we're done. We're out. Like, that just it scares us. When the electricity goes out, it's petrifying that the electricity is gone, and we don't have we realize how much we took for granted the fact that we can just flip a little piece of plastic and a light comes on. We take for granted that when the power finally goes out, and now you throw in 75th and 6th graders to the mix. You got some pretty scared people going on. Like, the kids are scared because the power's out, and the adults are scared because we have 70 on-edge children because there's no power. And then a rumor started going around that there was no water, so they couldn't use the bathrooms. And then, and they believed it. That was at bedtime, and people were like, hey, there's no water, you can't use the bathroom. And at one point, someone said that we're locked in the dorm that we are in. If you've ever been to Hilltop, there's the dorm on the hill. That's the dorm we are in. And there's already no air conditioning in there. So we always have fans in there. So there's always that constant, that noise, that kind of white noise that you have with fans. And so it's dead silent because there's no electricity. It's hot. There's no water, apparently, and we're locked in our dorm, and we can't leave. And kids were just on edge. And at one point, I was walking down the hallway of the dorm on the hill, and I overheard a kid say to another kid, this is like after an hour that they're supposed to be asleep. None of the kids are sleeping because they're because the power's out. I heard one kid say, this is the worst week of camp ever. Really? Like, your experience on how good or bad camp is is based on the existence of electricity or not. Like, and it got me to thinking, I couldn't sleep because I sleep with white noise when I sleep. I have to have like my app, my phone has to play white noise, or we have to have a fan on or something. I can't sleep in silence. And so when I lay down and it was totally silent in that dorm, I just couldn't sleep. And knowing that there's 40 boys around me also not sleeping, it was messing with my head too much and I couldn't sleep. So I actually got up at one point and walked around outside just to kind of cool off because it was actually cooler outside than it was inside. And it's like midnight or 12:30 in the morning, and I'm walking around, and I heard the kids say, "This is the worst week of camp ever," and I kind of had this, this moment by myself where I was like, whether I like it or not, I'm very uncomfortable right now because the power's out. And I thought to myself, here in an hour or so, maybe a couple hours, the power is going to kick back on. And whether I like it or not, I'm going to feel overwhelmingly relieved at that moment. And as I was walking around, I was like, wouldn't it just be amazing if we could feel that relieved? No, just because of our relationship with Jesus. Because, like I said, I'm like, here in a couple hours, the power is going to kick back on. And whether I like it or not, I'm going to feel great when that happens. And I remember I was still laying in bed. It wasn't until like 1:30 in the morning. I laid back down, trying to go to sleep, dead silent, sweating in bed. And then you hear, usually the first thing you hear, at least in there, was the smoke alarm beep or the whatever, like some kind of a security, like it beeps. You're like, oh, what's that? I hear life. And then one by one, the fans kick back on because they were all still plugged in and turned on. And everyone just breathes a sigh of relief. And I bet I was asleep within 60 seconds after that happened. I'm just like, man, wouldn't it be awesome if I felt that comforted just because I know the creator of the universe? It kind of frustrated me because I was like, we know the guy who created atoms. We know the guy who came up with the four seasons. We know the guy who came up with the sun. And we know the guy who came up with water and oxygen. We have the ability to know him like one-on-one and to be saved from all these sins and to actually, not only that, but actually have that guy, like that God within us, like to have that Holy Spirit within us. And yet, I am thrown into discomfort when suddenly electricity, which has existed for what, like only the past 200 years, when suddenly that gets removed from me. No, I'm really uncomfortable. Because like what, we've only had electricity for 200 years. I bet we haven't had widespread electricity for the past 60, 70 years. And yet here I am, power goes out. And I'm totally uncomfortable. I'm out of my comfort zone. But yet I claim that I have a one-on-one relationship with Jesus. I want to know what makes you uncomfortable. I want you to ask yourself that. What makes you uncomfortable? Because the first thing I want to point out is that the world wants you to constantly be uncomfortable. Because when you're uncomfortable, what do? You try to become comfortable. But if you try to become comfortable and you yet remain uncomfortable still, you will continue to try to be comfortable. It's just the idea of you need to buy my stuff because if you buy my stuff, it will make you comfortable. If you look at a lot of companies or a lot of products, their slogans, you can find that idea. Stay uncomfortable. If you look at a lot, not all, but if you look at a lot of slogans, you will see that hidden within their catchphrase or whatever. You know, the idea of never stop improving, right? We hear that. Never stop improving. What does that mean? Stay uncomfortable. Because you need to buy stuff at this store to become comfortable. You need to fix that to become comfortable. You need to make that bigger and better to become comfortable. As long as you don't, you're going to be uncomfortable. And no one wants to be uncomfortable, right? So you need to buy this to be comfortable. The world wants you to constantly be uncomfortable. What makes you uncomfortable? Something that makes me uncomfortable, and maybe you guys experience too, is when you're sitting down and you have two people on the opposite sides of you talking to each other. Does that not make you incredibly uncomfortable? Because there's no way you can contribute to the conversation, and they're just talking right in front of you, and it drives you crazy. Or what about when you're in a crowd full of strangers and you make eye contact with a stranger for like more than a second, and you're just like, whoa, that was super uncomfortable. That was really awkward. Hairless cats. I'm sorry if you have one. Like, if I saw a hairless cat, like, why is it inside out? Why is the cat inside out? It really makes me uncomfortable when I see a hairless cat or a hairless animal. If you have one, I'm sure they're very nice, but they make me uncomfortable when I see them. We all know these people, and since I am the new guy and I don't know a lot of you very well yet, I'm sorry if this is you, but we all know those people who stand just a little too close when they talk to you, right? We all know those people, okay? We all know them. And if you can't think of someone, it's probably you, okay? Like, right about here, here's your face area, like right there, that's a good distance, but they're just like right there, and you're just like, you are way too close to my face. And I remember one time I was talking to somebody who had that problem. They just stood way too close. And like, you try to do it, you don't want to be rude and be like, you need to back up. Like, you're way too close to my face. You need to stand back. I don't want to be rude, so I'm like, oh yeah, I'm talking to him. And you know, you do that little, you know, you check your feet, kind of move. Oh, I just moved back a foot. I'm good now. And it's like they're on to you. And they just like keep, they don't even mess. They just step right back into your uncomfort zone. And there's a lot of weird things that make us uncomfortable. But here's the thing that I want you to write down. What are the top three things that make you comfortable? What are the top three things that bring you comfort? Really think about this. What are the top three things that bring you comfort? Are they good things? I mean, I would hope so. I bet a lot of people right now are writing down family or a family member, like mom or spouse or kids or something like that. You know, after a long day, I love going home and seeing Sawyer and Araya. That brings me comfort. Or maybe some of you guys are writing down friends. But maybe if you're honest with yourself, it's probably some things or stuff you might not want to talk about. When you think about what really brings you comfort. Like after a long day at work, or maybe work is your comfort. A lot of people do, believe it or not, a lot of people do love their jobs and love going in to work and having that routine and stuff like that. But when you're stressed out or you're uncomfortable with life, what brings you comfort? Because sometimes it's not always the greatest stuff. Stuff we don't like to talk about. Stuff you wouldn't like to admit. Your phone. Your computer. Or some other problem that you have that you just find comfort in stuff that you shouldn't be finding comfort in. And the sad thing is usually those things, those bad things that we find comfort in, usually afterwards we're left even more uncomfortable in the first place than we were in the first place. Now, here's the part that, even if you wrote down good stuff, I want you to look at that list because this is a moment of truth. I want you to look at those three things and then think of ways that those three things can let you down. How can those three things let you down? Your parents can let you down. Your spouse can let you down. I mean, just ask Samson, right? Your spouse can let you down. Your kids can make decisions that you don't like. Your friends can let you down. Your job, you can lose your job. Money might be your comfort. You can lose your money. I mean, out of those three things, they in one way or another, they may never let you down. That's great if they don't, but they can. My point is that no matter what it is that brings you comfort, it can let you down, unless it's Jesus Christ. I want you guys to open up your Bibles to 2 Corinthians, because I actually want you to see it for yourself as I read it. It's just going to be chapter 1 is where we're going to be at. Second Corinthians chapter 1. our ultimate source of comfort needs to be Jesus Christ. Our ultimate source of comfort needs to be Jesus Christ. This is Paul talking to the Corinthians. We're going to be in chapter 1, verse 3. That's where we're going to start. Paul starts off by saying, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort." If you know anything about Paul, he got uncomfortable. He was pretty uncomfortable a lot in his life. I mean, he is saying here, guys, our main source of comfort needs to be Jesus Christ. And coming from him, when you look at his background, when you do a background check on Paul, you're going to realize that he knows what he's talking about. You know, for someone like me to say, you need to be comfortable, well, I've grown up in 21st century America. I know what it's like to be pretty comfortable. So for me to say, oh, you need to find your comfort in God, not in all these things, like, what do I know? But when you look at Paul and you know what he grew up in first century Israel, where Christianity was to mark yourself down for death and to evangelize was even worse than that, you know, and then Paul says, find your main comfort in God. He knows what he's talking about. This is the same guy who was beaten and shipwrecked and at one point got stoned. In the book of Acts, it says how he got stoned. And the only reason the people stopped stoning him is because they thought they had succeeded in killing him. They're like, all right, he's done. He's done. He's dead. But he was close, but he didn't die. He got right back up and went right back into that same city and kept preaching. Like, this is a guy that knows what it's like to be uncomfortable. And he says that this is the God of comfort. This is the God of comfort. We have the God of comfort. For just, verse 5, "For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows." This is the same Jesus that says, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. This is the same Jesus this is the same God that's within us. Jesus knows what it's like to suffer too. Our main comfort in life should not be, it's okay to be comforted by those things, by good things, by, you know, stuff like family and the church. Like, it's great to be comforted. That's one reason I try to tell people, like, because a lot of people think you don't need to come to church. And one reason why I really push it, I'm like, yeah, you do. I mean, because look at the kind of comfort you should feel when you look around a room and think, I'm not the only one. I'm not the only one. It's fine to be comforted by those things. But our main comfort, our ultimate source of comfort, needs to come from Jesus Christ. Can we just pause for a second? Because I know I'm saying a lot of stuff. And, like, even close your eyes if you want to. Because, like, I want us to think about things that we don't think about very often. So let's just let these thoughts go through our head for a second. If you are a Christian, if you are a disciple of Christ, every sin that you've ever committed is not counted against you. Every sin you've ever committed or ever will commit is not counted against you. In God's eyes, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, you are holy. You have a personal relationship with the creator of this universe. Jesus died for your sins. See, when you just think about those simple phrases, and you really believe them. That is more comfort than anything else you could ever get, anything you could buy, anything you could ever do, when you just saturate yourself with those thoughts. Because everything else can let you down. I mean, it's just like the songs we just sang. All the songs we sing, like we sang Standing on the Promises, like the promises of God, like those promises, they are eternal, they're unchanging. Those are the things that should bring us comfort. Or the Power in the Blood song, that is one of my favorite hymns of all time. And when you think about the message of that song, like, there's power in the blood of Jesus Christ. Like, I don't need to do anything to get my sins taken away or to be saved because there's power in the blood. I can't earn my own salvation. There's power in Jesus' blood. Like, that's eternal promises. That's stuff that we should find comfort in. But we try to do it ourselves a lot. We try to do it ourselves. Because if we were honest with ourselves, like a lot of us, when we're going through hard times, what do we run to be comforted? A lot of us, if we were honest, we would say, oh, I watch television to comfort myself. Or I get on my phone to comfort myself. Or I eat to comfort myself. Or whatever. Like, we try to find comfort on our own. When I check my bank account and I see a certain amount of money in there, I feel better about myself. I feel comforted. When I look at my family and I know they're all still with me and are still happy, and I look at all my kids, that's what brings me comfort. But you know what? Your family can leave, and your money, your bank account can go away. Like, all those things can, I hope they never do, but they can fail us. We just try to do it ourselves. I mean, it's a lot like this couch back here. I love this couch. It's one of my favorite couches. I've had it for a long time, and it's in my office, and it's super comfortable. It's one of the most comfortable couches of all time. And I would love to just sit here and just do the rest of my sermon from like right here, because it's really comfortable. I really do like this couch a lot. And it's in my office, and I love to just sit on it while I'm thinking or whatever. And it's very nice. So let's just imagine for a moment that this couch is the most comfortable couch ever. Okay, it's the ultimate source of comfort. Okay, if you have a hard day and you are physically wore out and you need to relax and calm down, that's your couch right there. That's your couch to do it in. So like for this illustration, like this couch represents the comfort of God, okay? It's the most comfortable, this is the greatest source of comfort you could ever have, okay? It's unchanging, it's unfailing comfort, okay? But this is what we do. I'm not going to rely on that comfort, because when I get that kind of comfort, because it's kind of interesting when you talk about the comfort of God, because I think a lot about Peter in the boat. When Peter was in the boat and that storm was going on, the best place, I mean, there's a storm going on, and it was waves were tossing the boat back and forth, and it was raining and everything. The boat was the most comfortable place for Peter to be. I mean, it was insecure, it was rocking back and forth, and you know, I'm sure he was scared, but let's be honest, it was the safest place for him to be. And here comes Jesus walking on the water. And Peter says, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you." And Jesus says, "It's me." And Peter gets out of the boat. He leaves the logical comfort zone for a godly comfort zone. So while God's comfort zone is the ultimate source of comfort, in a weird way, it can still make us uncomfortable because it pushes us to be more like him. Okay, so that's the point I want to make. That's what this couch is like. God's like, you can rest and be comforted by me. I might try to mold your comfort zone so it's more God-like, okay? But I'm going to be your ultimate source of comfort. If you're doing this sin, and God's like, no, find comfort in me and repent and get rid of that sin, that might make you uncomfortable getting rid of that sin, whatever it is, you're getting rid of that habit. That might make you uncomfortable, but the whole time, while you're doing it, you're right here just saying, I'm comforted by God now. I'm not going to be comforted by that sin anymore. This is my comfort. okay? But this is what we do most of the time. We get this little pathetic replica. This is my son's couch, okay, that we got for him, okay? We get this little, we try to make a little replica of God's comfort, okay? And we're like, you know what, that God's comfort might try to push me to do things that I might not want to do. So what I want to do is I'm going to work really hard with my life. Okay, I'm going to work really hard. I want to make a lot of money, and I want to be comforted by my money. And I want to be comforted by my money, and because it'll always bring me comfort. Always bring me comfort by my money. And you know, think about, well, one day, whether I like it or not, I'm going to lose my job, whether it's because I retire or whether because I do, you know, I do something bad and I get fired or something. But someday, this is going to be taken away from me, and I'm going to be left on the floor, uncomfortable. Well, then I got to find something else to find comfort in. So I'm now going to find comfort with a hobby. You know, I lost my job, so now I'm going to try to find comfort with my hobby, and I'm going to try to lay on this now. And I want to be really comfortable right here with my hobby. Well, then my hobby, I get really bad at my hobby. You know, I don't know, it gets boring to me. My point is that we try to find comfort in this kind of cheap replica of the ultimate source of comfort. And maybe even at one point, we're like, man, I am really uncomfortable with life. And so we kind of like, you know, we kind of do this little weird lean on God thing, like, I'm really finding my comfort right here. But you know what? I mean, I pray sometimes. I read my Bible every once in a while. I go to church. So it's kind of like just kind of leaning on God. Because this is all the comfort I need from God. When God gets too uncomfortable for me, get away from me. And you scoot forward and you get back to your little thing. And then suddenly you become uncomfortable with life. Oh, let me just scoot back here. Here we go. All right, this is much better. But this is the game we play. We try to do it our own way, and it doesn't work out. It's not as comfortable. And what does Jesus say? He says, deny yourself and follow me. And the thing is that when you find your comfort in God, like your job or your family, like, those things are fine, but we need to find our comfort in God. Like, when I'm laying on this couch, when I'm laying on this couch right here, you can give me 5 more Mickey Mouse couches, and it will not affect me at all. You can take away all my Mickey Mouse couches. It will not affect me at all, because my comfort is not found in that. My comfort is found in God. Our ultimate source of comfort needs to be God. Which leads me to like my final point, actually my most important one. It's because when we find our ultimate source of comfort with God, we're more likely to live for Him. When you look at your life and you see the way you live it, like the way you act, do you see a lot of actions for God? Like, do you see a lot of decisions made for Jesus? Because if not, it might mean that God is not your ultimate source of comfort. Like, when I think about finding your ultimate source of comfort with God, I think of like, I gotta find it. This is Philippians chapter 3, where Paul says, I consider everything a loss. Okay, again, this is Paul talking, someone who knows what he's talking about. He says, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus. He's like, everything else is a loss compared to just knowing Jesus Christ. Like, how many of us can honestly say we have that mentality? To say, yeah, my house is good, car is good, food's good, air conditioning's good, electricity's all right, indoor plumbing's good. But man, you got to realize it's nothing compared to Jesus Christ. How many of us have that mentality? That's what Paul's saying. He's like, everything else is a loss He actually says in the next verse that he considers them rubbish or garbage. One of the most famous or most popular verses in Philippians is Philippians 4:13, right? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And I know a lot of people will get upset because people take that verse out of context or whatever. But when you do hear it in context, what Paul is talking about is comfort. Or maybe even one of my favorite words in the English language, contentment. Isn't it just awesome to be content? Maybe you don't feel that way. I think it's amazing to feel content with life. To know, like, just, I don't know, just something about just being content. I am content. Like, no matter what good things I'm going through or what bad things I'm going through, I'm going to be content because of those things we already talked about. Because I know that my sins aren't counting against me. Because I know that I have a personal relationship with God. And if you want to look, Philippians 4, verse 10, this is the verses leading up to that famous verse, 4:13. I'm going to start with verse 11. I'm not saying this because I am in need. Here's the point I want to make. For I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And what's the secret? 4:13. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Philippians 4:13 is actually a secret. That's what Paul's saying. That verse that we all love, it's actually a secret. It's the secret of being content. It's the secret of being comforted. Paul says, I know what it's like to be rich. I know what it's like to be broke. I know what it's like to be hungry, I know what it's like to be full, but I've learned the secret of being content. And what is it? It's that I can do all things. I can get through all things through Christ who gives me strength. I guess my obvious question for you this morning is, what's your source of comfort? If you were really honest with yourself, what's your ultimate source of comfort? Is it people? And I'm not saying God can't work through people to bring comfort. I mean, he can. He does a lot. Is it your laptop, if you're honest with yourself? Is it a game or a sport? Is that your ultimate source of comfort? After yesterday, I can tell you my ultimate source of comfort is not golf. But I mean, I know a lot of people that when their favorite NFL team loses, they have a horrible day because their ultimate source of comfort, at least for that day, was that game. And when their team loses, you don't talk to them. Like, that is pitiful. What's your ultimate source of comfort? Because it needs to be Jesus Christ. It needs to be Jesus Christ. Yeah, the musicians can come on up as we come into our time of invitation. Because this is a moment that I want you to, before we do invitation, I want us to have a moment of just reflection, I guess. I want you to think about what brings you comfort. What really brings you comfort. And then we're going to pray, and then we'll have our invitational song. Because I want us to pray and to ask God to reveal to us the not-so-good things that bring us comfort. Because that's the worst part. Sometimes they can kind of sneak in without us noticing, right? And kind of sneak into our lives. We're like, oh man, I didn't even notice that I had made that my big source of comfort. I want to ask God to help us reveal to us the things that bring us comfort that probably shouldn't. And then I'm going to pray that each one of us can make God our ultimate source of comfort. Yeah, when you make God your ultimate source of comfort, things might become uncomfortable. Okay, he might push you to get rid of some things in your life that make you feel uncomfortable. But that's why God's our ultimate source of comfort. We just fall back on him. Okay, as I get rid of this problem, I'm going to rely on God. Even while I was making this message, as I was typing up this message, I had to do like bills. I had to pay some bills, and like it was making me uncomfortable. I'm like, really? Like, you had to like prove to myself that you need to be my ultimate source of comfort while I'm doing this? It's hard to just let, you know, just to fall back on the comfort of God. So kind of do some self-evaluation. What brings you comfort? Is it good stuff? Or is it stuff you rather not talk about? Let's pray. God, I thank you for this morning. God, I pray that I've said something that is biblical. I pray I said something that's true. And I pray that for each one of us in this room, including myself, that you help us identify the things in our life that we find comfort in, that we shouldn't be finding comfort in. Help us realize them. Bring it to our attention so that we can weed it out. We can get it out. Thank you for all the great things you've blessed us with to find comfort in, like our family and our friends. Thank you for those sources of comfort that that you gave us, that we can find your comfort through those things. But God, there's a lot of things that we shouldn't be finding comfort in. And I pray that you bring it to our attention at this time as we go throughout this day. God, I pray that we can find our ultimate source of comfort in you. I pray for each one of us today that we can find our comfort in you. And God, if there's anyone in this room that has never decided to make you their ultimate source of comfort, I pray that they do not waste any more time and they decide today to become a baptized believer in Jesus Christ. You are the greatest and ultimate source of comfort. Please, I pray for everyone in this room, including myself, that you become our ultimate source of comfort. We accept that comfort. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.